Welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. I'm Ludmila, founder and CEO of Rampic, a B2B digital marketing agency. We help tech founders get the most of their marketing effort and promote their stories to our audience. We believe that every tech founder has a unique story and their business needs attention. Stick around till the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can become our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Hello and welcome to B2B Tech Founders Lounge, the podcast in the space where tech founders and leaders share their unconventional visions and stories. And today I'm here with Elizabeth Anderson and Kelly Lucas, co-founders of Lunar Lab. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Just to get things started, what brought you to UI and UX space?
Well, we had been working in software for years and years, and that kind of led to us starting our company. But if we kind of back up a little bit, I can maybe talk about my kind of starting story. I started off as a graphic design major in college and started out as a print designer and kind of just realized that that wasn't really what I wanted to do. And this was kind of, you know, 2007, 8, and that's kind of when smartphones came out. And I ended up at a company that had laid off their UX and UI team. And I kind of inherited a few projects that were kind of half done. And that's when I realized that this was something that I really enjoyed doing and had been doing for maybe 2 years before I stumbled on a Google search about UX. And that's when I realized this was an actual field.
Yeah, I can talk about my experience a little bit. I did not start in UX. I do not have a graphic design background either. I actually started my tech career in project management, which I loved, absolutely loved project management. I love the way that you can, start with an idea and then turn it into something with project management. That is amazing for me. Sort of like what happened to Kelly. A little ways through that project management career, the company that I was at the time laid off all of the product managers. And they said, hello, project managers, you are now also product managers. And it was a very, you know, as fintech, so it was a highly regulated field. And it was a very scary time for us because I didn't know anything about the product side of things. And once I got in and started doing it, I found out that I actually loved it. It helped me connect more with my projects and helped me connect more with the product itself. So I really, really enjoyed that. Kept on that sort of product journey into the point where I got into product strategy, which is, you know, product management, but like extra, where you're doing like the strategic thinking and thinking about the future and how this is going to, you know, work when you get it out into the marketplace and things like that. And then Kelly and I met, which was such a blessing for us because often people in product roles and people in UX roles don't get along very well, but that did not happen with Kelly. And we just worked together so amazingly. Just from the start, I felt like we could work on things together and create things together that were better than anything that we could have come up with, you know, on our own. So we always worked really collaboratively with each other. We've worked at several companies together now. Wouldn't dream of wanting to work somebody where without Kelly. It's been working so well. And just being able to combine the UX with the product strategy, like I said, it can create things that are so powerful and so much better than anything that either of us could have created on our own, and really saw a way that we could bring those skills into the tech community. We had seen so many instances where projects didn't go well, or products were released and they, you know, they didn't have a good monetization strategy, or they were inefficient and difficult to use, or you know, there were a lot of risks associated with the product, or it wasn't validated in the marketplace. And we kind of wanted to prevent some of that and just use our skills to help people.
Oh, that's incredible. And that's two very great stories to share. So thank you. I'm really so happy for you because founding a good match as a co-founder is indeed a blessing. So tell us a little bit more about what you do at Lunar Lab. And for all the audience, for everybody who is listening, Lunar Lab, lunarlab.io, that's the website that Kelly's and Elizabeth's firm has. Please check it out. by the way, it looks great. I like it. And it's you know, when you have like the carpenter with their own shoes or... So tell us a little bit more about Lunar Lab. What you do, what kind of problems you solve.
Yeah, so we help anyone who is building any type of software, whether that software is just a dream right now, so it's a startup, and it's just an idea that someone has, all the way up to enterprise software at, you know, publicly traded companies, and then everything in between. So, you know, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, anybody who is building any type of software. And that software can be mobile apps, it can be web apps, it can be websites, which we do from time to time. It could be SaaS products, it could be AI products. Those are always really fun to work on. Even some IoT devices from time to time. Those have their own interesting set of challenges. So we've kind of done it all. Now we work in an agency, but we've also worked in agencies previously. And then, of course, we sort of cut our teeth working together in enterprise fintech projects. So these are really fun because they're like a big puzzle that you have to put together. What we help people do is to make sure that the software that they're creating is intuitive, that it's validated in the marketplace. People are going to like this product and actually engage with it and use it. We help people make sure that their product is going to be profitable. Really important when we are working in business. So you got to hit that bottom line. We make sure that these software decisions have a really high ROI for the companies that are creating these software products, that the risk is lowered. And then, of course, we're a benefit corporation. So we always have some emphasis on making sure that the products we create are inclusive and ethical. We never want to go out and create something that is going to be socially or environmentally harmful in any way. That's going to like perpetuate any kind of discrimination or bias or things like that. So that's kind of what we do. How we do it is through UX design, product strategy. We do some user research. And from time to time, we help people with project management. Like I said, that's my first love is project management. So we do from time to time help with that as well. Kelly, what did I miss?
We also do workshops. Which have been, I think, one of our more valuable things that we provide to companies that come to us and they're like, I don't even know where to start. And sometimes it just helps to kind of get that vision down on paper, whiteboard, whatever the deliverable is. But we've had a lot of success with those, and they're kind of a more of an introductory price option that really, I think, in what we've seen so far, has been a really good ROI for the companies we've helped. And then the way that I like to say everything that Elizabeth said, but shorter, is like we make products suck less.
Yes.
Right. That's a quite a broad range of services that you have, which is like looks phenomenal. Tell us a little bit more about the principles that you hear, because you mentioned diversity, equality, and inclusion, and also like on your website, which is lunarlab.io, you talk a lot about community and the value that you can add up to community. So it makes like a great brand and the great kind of like value set behind it. How did you come up with this kind of like, I lost the positioning, but like what made you make this like inclusion and everything so prominent?
Well, you know, it's funny the way that you asked that, because it wasn't necessarily a conscious choice where we sat down and said, let's add this. It was really just sort of something that was kind of in our hearts from the beginning. And when we launched the company, we knew right away that that's what we wanted to do. Probably before we knew anything else about the company, we knew that's what it needed to be. The way that I always think about it is that, you know, we have these software products, and we live in this world where we are constantly surrounded by software products. Often those products are made without any thought to, you know, how they are going to impact the actual users, the people who are using them, the societies that they're being used in. But I think about it as, you know, this software is for everybody. It should be created by everybody, and it should also take into account everybody. We should be thinking about these things. For me, I have always felt very, very strongly that if I'm involved in creating something, then I have some responsibility for what that software does in the world. And I cannot shake that feeling. That feeling is not going away anytime soon. You know, I would like to be able to sleep at night. So that is why that is so core to what we do. And you know, often when we are thinking about these products, it can be very easy to just fly through it and add some features that are, you know, everybody's thinking about this feature. Let's just go, add, you know, all of these new features without thinking about, okay, well, if we put this new feature into the world, is this going to perpetuate racism? Is this going to perpetuate sexism? Is this going to harm people? Even, you know, it could be in big ways, but it could also be in small ways. And, you know, each one of those small ways that we do harm always adds up. So always want to think about that. So I don't know. I don't think of that as being separate from the company. I think that as being the company's core above literally anything else that we do, because that is the way that I want to live my life.
Kelly, I was also going to say, I think Elizabeth and I, having worked in such a male-dominated industry for years in tech, a lot of that we've just experienced firsthand, you know, in the workplace, in the work that we did every day. And I think it was really, really important to us when we first started, and obviously now, to create a company that was different and not necessarily innovative in the way that people think about, but just setting aside egos and setting aside the competitiveness that can come into companies, and just making sure that we kind of make sure that we are being collaborative and working as a team and not butting heads in a way that is detrimental to, you know, our company.
Can I add one more thing too about the community aspect? You know, when we think about being able to go out and to help people in the community, entrepreneurship and being able to create a startup is such a powerful way that people can launch themselves out of poverty. I know that because I myself came, you know, from an impoverished background, but it can also be a way that you can build generational wealth for your family. And that path has been cut off for a lot of people for a very, very long time. So one of the things that we, you know, is find very important for us to do is we provide pro bono mentorship within the community. We do provide discounts to nonprofits. We always want to go out. We do free, you know, we're doing a lunch and learn later this week because we want to go out and help make those opportunities more accessible for everybody, and something that, you know, everybody can be part of and everybody has that opportunity for. One of the ways that I think of these things, you know, I don't necessarily always like to use terms like marginalized. I like to use a term like historically excluded, because I think that really tells the story in a more direct way, because there is some intent behind that people have been excluded from these paths in life for a very, very long time. And we want to do our part to minimize that exclusion and work more towards inclusion.
Oh, thanks for sharing, ladies. And that's a really important and I would say tremendous amount of social responsibility that you incorporated into your company DNA. It's so good to hear that. That's very kind of like natural to you, and this front comes from the core. So thanks so much for sharing that. And also talking about like the underrepresentation, and it comes in so many ways. Women in tech and everything related to it. That's very important that you openly promote the inclusivity and diversity in every field and in everything that you do. Thank you for that. That's important. That's very important. I also wanted to ask you about the B Corp status, because that's also like not necessarily often or like something that I see every day. Can you tell us, our audience, a little bit more about the whole idea and how you came to it and how it helped?
Oh, I'm so excited about this. So benefit corporations are a new type of entity in Alabama where we live, but they are not new nationally. So there are companies like Ben & Jerry's, Jenny's Ice Cream, Patagonia. These are all B Corps. And when we first learned about B Corps, it was so funny because when we set up our company, we were already doing all of the things that were required for a benefit corporation to do. So we were already donating. We were already doing pro bono mentoring. We were already doing an annual report for transparency purposes, just because we thought those were the right things to do. Very early on, from the moment, the first year that we were in business, we put out an annual report. Now, there was not a lot on it, but we did do one. And so when we found out about benefit corporations, it just seemed like such a natural fit to be part of that community that is promoting these things, like social inclusivity and environmental impact, things that we don't necessarily always think about in the tech industry. It just felt so natural. And so one of the things that I always say about being a benefit corporation is the only thing that we had to change about our company was the name. So instead of being just Lunar Lab, we are now Lunar Lab Benefit, because that is a requirement in our state that the word benefit appear in your company name. So other than that, it has been so wonderful going through the B Corp certification process, because it was a lot of work. It really was. It took a lot of time. I did not track my hours on it. I sometimes wish I had, because it would have been a very large number of hours. However, it really made our company a lot more cohesive, and it helped us to create some internal company policies that we might not have been necessarily thinking about. One of the things for me was where we really got into thinking about our environmental impact. Now, we are a tech company, we're primarily remote, but we did not necessarily every day come in thinking about what our environmental impact would be and how much energy that we are using when we are traveling or when we are on Zoom calls and things like that. So we did end up becoming carbon neutral as part of that process. It is not required to become carbon neutral. It just, you know, seemed so obvious that we should once we got into doing it. And so I think it really made us into a stronger company, but also a more operationally sound company going through that process. And I feel so much better about a lot of the things that we do. Plus, I got to know the B Corp community, and they are lovely. There are so many other B Corps that we could get involved with and talk to and do business with. And that has been excellent as well. So very excited to talk about B Corps. If anybody wants to reach out to me on LinkedIn and just chat about it, I am always here, because I think it is a really great thing.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks so much for sharing. And it's Elizabeth Anderson at Lunar Lab and Kelly Lucas at Lunar Lab. So on LinkedIn, please go ahead, find the ladies. And I guess, like, we'll be discussed a ton of conversation starters then. So please feel free to reach out. And also, one of my favorite, in my audience's favorite questions, ladies, can you share like a project rescue story or any like the best case study that you have, just to make sure that like our audience can hear that, can hear like your shine?
That's a great question. This is not necessarily a rescue story in the traditional sense, but we had a company that we've known for a while now called Crew, C-R-O-U-X. And they came to us, five founders, one that had a technical background, four that were just in hospitality, that came to us and said, hey, we have an idea for essentially bringing the gig economy to hospitality. So allowing people who want to pick up shifts, like bartending shifts at any local restaurant, they would be able to pick up as many shifts as they want to through the app. So this team came to us and said, hey, we want to build this app, but we don't really know what needs to go into it. We just need to launch an MVP. Can you help us kind of figure out what that needs to be? So we started from kind of ground zero on that one and took them through a workshop where we iterated through a whole bunch of ideas and kind of circled the ones that made the most sense for an MVP. And I think they've been in business for 2.5 years now, give or take, have landed, I know, over $1 million in funding. They've grown to multiple different markets at this point and are just, I think, a really good success story of kind of thinking through what that product strategy needs to be. What are those first features that need to go into an app to make sure that you can start bringing in revenue, that it's appealing to investors, that it has a beautiful UI, that it's super easy to use, and that those, I think, initial features are really valuable for people to, for them to start getting traction.
Yeah, I would also add another one to that. I love project rescues. Let me just say that from the beginning, one of my jobs when I was a project manager was to be, I always tell people it was like when you're in the mafia and there's a fixer. I was the fixer project manager for a long time. And I really like that because you can come in and you just have this disaster and you can get your hands around it and make it better. And I love seeing it be, you know, go on to be successful at the end. That feels really, really good. That feels sometimes even better than something that's like a shoe-in, you know, something that like is easy from the start. I really like the challenge. So one of the projects that we worked on that I love this case study, we had a marketing company actually come to us for help with a product that they were creating. It was a web app, and the web app itself, they had a great marketing site. The web app itself was stunningly beautiful. Like it looked so good. And I love this case study because often when people think about UX, they think about making it pretty. And this one, we could not have made it prettier if we wanted to. I mean, it was so, so pretty just from the outset. They had done such a great job. And they had also done a really great job of marketing this thing. So they were getting like hundreds of leads every single day. I mean, they were really, really getting a lot of traffic to this website. The problem was that nobody was converting, like 0% conversions. It was really, really bad. So the end company was like, listen, we just need like 1% of these to convert or our company is about to go under. So everybody was kind of in this panic about it. Really did not need a lot. And we said, oh, 1%, we can help you with that, you know? And so we got in there and we took a look at it. And one of the things, they just had so many barriers to conversion. And this is like a really common problem that we see with, you know, mobile apps, web apps, even websites. It's just, there are lots and lots of friction points in between the user finding the web app or website or mobile app and them completing their goal that they want to do. So for this one, there were like 15 steps and it was multiple weeks. I mean, it was a lengthy process for them to do the thing that they were trying to do. And so we did some research on it and we kind of understood what was going on. We understood what the users really wanted to do and some of their frustrations and pain points. And then we were able to bring that back and design an all new flow that was down to 5 steps. So it was a complicated process. So it did take some steps, but we helped them to understand what was next, how long they were going to be waiting on it, and then just decrease that flow down so that they were able to get the conversions at the end of the day. Like I said, I love that story, because we were able to help so much and it was already on something that was really, really pretty. So design is not always just making it look better. It's making it feel better. And I think that kind of comes in with the strategy as well, which is why, you know, design and strategy are such two sides of the same coin and are so important to think about together.
Oh, that's two incredible stories. So thank you so much for sharing. Like, I really appreciate it. And it adds a lot of value to your clients, which is probably like the most important thing after all. I'm happy to hear that Kelly, like the client that you helped was the MVP, got that traction. That's rare. For the tech founders and the tech startups, it's really difficult to make it through. So it's so good to see that you guys helped out them, like build a strong foundation that probably helped them with the fundraising as well, which is also like a very difficult story. And Elizabeth, that's I love it. It's like, you know, when you know something and you have like a really professional look at it, and you immediately see what you can fix. That's amazing. Ladies, thank you so much. That's an incredible conversation. Elizabeth Anderson, Kelly Lucas, co-founders of Lunar Lab, lunarlab.io, and also LinkedIn. Please feel free to connect with the ladies. As I mentioned, we have discussed so many nice conversation starters, so feel free to reach out. Ladies, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being such wonderful guests to the show. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Ludmila here. Thanks so much for listening to B2B Tech Founders Lounge podcast. If you are a B2B tech founder who would like to be on the show, visit podcast.rampic.agency.
If you've got something from this interview that you would like to share, please go ahead and post the link to this episode on social media. Just grab a link, send it to a friend. If you know someone who will be a great guest on the show, tag them in your post to let them know about the show and include our podcast name, which is B2B Tech Founders Lounge, in your post. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are adding new episodes frequently, so make sure you subscribe to the podcast. This means a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Visit us at Ramfic Agency website or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.